good morning. Okay, so today what we're going to do is we're going to maybe skip a bit. And as I said, because we are now just 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we'll have a shiur today. And in Mirtz Hashem, we will have a shiur next week. So we just have a little bit of opportunity. These are the last two before we start Tishrei, and then this year won't be on throughout Tishrei. So what we'll do is, since it's all Hashgacha Pratis, that in the parasha we are doing, as we saw, we were doing the Yamim Tovim, so today we'll just skip a few Psukim, and we'll go to the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, because the first few Yamim Tovim, as we saw last week, we started with Shabbos, and then it goes into Pesach and Sfiras HaOmer and Shavuos. So perhaps later on we can come back to that. But now we'll go to where it starts with Rosh Hashanah, and maybe, I don't know if we'll finish today. If we finish, then we'll do a little bit of Yom Kippur and Sukkot next week. So just thought that since it just works beautifully with the times. And we're going to see something quite fascinating, because in the Chumash, the Yomim Tovim are mentioned twice or three times, as we said. One time is our case, where it's mentioned quite at length, and it's mainly for the way it works, the order in the Jewish calendar. And then when we get to Parashas Pinchas, it's really more about the actual karbanos, the sacrifices. That's more where the reading of the Torah is taken from Parashas Pinchas, because it's more specific with all of the different karbanos and how they celebrated the Yom Tov. And then in Chumash Devarim, it also mentions about the Yomim Tovim, more having to do with how they have to keep it when they enter the land of Israel, how they have to do Aliyah L'Regel. So this is the first place that we have. I mean, it does mention Yom Tov in Parashas Mishpatim, but there it only mentions the Shalosh Regalim, and very, very abbreviated, very short. So here is the first place in the Chumash. And what we're going to do today is we're going to see something quite incredible. For many of us, for most of us, Rosh Hashanah is one of the big Yom Tovs. I mean, I think that the most famous Yom Tovim that we know is Pesach that people keep, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Those are the Yom Tovs that everybody knows. You know, whatever level you are, you know something about it. But the fascinating thing that we're going to discover today, that I myself wasn't even aware of to the extent, is that Rosh Hashanah in the Chumash, where everything is sourced, is actually very, very, very cryptic. It's difficult to understand, to extrapolate almost, how we celebrate Rosh Hashanah based upon the psukim that you see in the Chumash. And it's not just how we celebrate, but even more, what we associate Rosh Hashanah with. Because we all know, as soon as we think of Rosh Hashanah, we know what it's called. It's called Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. It's the day Hashem sits in judgment. That's why we daven so much. Hashem has the books open. You know, we learned that in kindergarten. It's the day of the shofar, the blowing of the shofar. It's the day of Yom HaZikaron. All of these different aspects, we'll see in the psukim how it's quite interesting how they managed to figure out what really the theme of Rosh Hashanah is based upon the psukim in the Chumash. Obviously, we have the oral Torah that we know, a very important part which helps us, that's obvious. But just today, we'll concentrate more on the psukim and see what the psukim show us, and will give us incredible messages, I think, for really what Rosh Hashanah is for us to understand and how we prepare for it, because it just gives us that incredible insight into it. So let's see. I'm going to share the screen, and let's see some of the psukim, as we say. We'll read the pasuk from our parasha, Parashas Emor, which is really basically one or two psukim, and then I'll just show you quickly the pasuk in Parashas Pinchas, where it is also mentioned. There's a bit of a difference, and then we'll see some of the commentaries to see, literally from every word, how we learn something so magnificent, which gives us what we have as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so as we know, this is the source. So it says in Parashas Emor, we are in Perek Chav Gimel, so we've skipped now to Pasuk Chav Gimel, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel in Chumash Vayikra, and it says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. So we are in the middle of the Yomim Tovim, as we said. Pesach has been discussed, Sfiras HaOmer has been discussed, Shavuos has been discussed, and because of that, we also have the mitzvahs to do with different parts of the land, of how you, when you harvest, and when you're planting, and what you have to leave for the poor people. And now we come to our Yom Tovs. Let's see. So, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, Lemer saying, Bachodesh Hashvi, in the seventh month, very important for us to remember, according to the Torah, the months begin with Nisan. That also makes it a little bit more challenging for us to understand the way we know Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we just say it. What does it mean? Rosh means the head, the beginning of the year. And yet if you look into the Chumash, it's not what it says. It doesn't say B'chodesh HaRishon. It says B'chodesh HaShvi, in the seventh month. The Yontif, which is in the first month in the Torah, is Pesach, Nisan. And yet we still call it Rosh Hashanah. It's something interesting to remember. We have to understand how that works. Okay, so in the seventh month, Be'echad L'chodesh, on the first day of the month, Yihyeh Lachem Shabbosayin. The first description that the Chumash gives us for Rosh Hashanah is that it shall be a rest day for you. The next thing that it says is Zichrein Truah. A mention, Zichrein is a mention in this context, a remembrance, a reminder of the Truah. Here they translate the Truah as the Shofar blasts. The commentaries all tell us that it's actually not so 100% clear the word Truah, what type of instrument we're meant to use. It could be, Truah could be referring to something in the Torah that we know, a different instrument, not so commonly used now, but the chatzaitzreis, the trumpets. Remember, we learned, I don't know if we actually mentioned them ever, they come more in Chumash Bamidbar, where the Jewish people had these trumpets in the desert, and they were blown for different occasions. The trumpets are not the same thing as the shofar. So, Zichrein Truah, they translate shofar blasts, obviously, because we know that from Torah Shebaal Peh, but still interesting that it's a remembrance of some type of blowing, some type of a sound. And then the pasuk continues and tells us, Mikra Kodesh, a calling of holiness. One more pasuk for Rosh, that's all we have so far. Do you see, lots of things are missing here. But let's see, one more pasuk. Kol meleches avoda lo sasu, you shall not do any work of labor. V'hikraftem isha l'Hashem, and you shall offer a fire offering to Hashem. That's all it says. So, main keyword that's missing here, nothing about din, judgment, zero, zero, zero. Not one word of it being Yom HaDin. Just want to read Rashi, and I want to show you the other pasuk in Chumash, and you'll see it doesn't say it there either, but let's see. Rashi says, the word says over here, Zichrein Truah, which is a mention of the Shofar blasts. So Rashi points out, when it says Zichrein Truah, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that the actual blowing of the shofar, because it doesn't say the blowing of the shofar. Rather, it uses the word zichrein. So zichrein means zichrein psukei zichrein. It's a mentioning of psukim, of verses of remembrances, verses which refer to Hashem's remembrance of His mercy towards creation. Obviously, that's what we try to remember and to remind Hashem. And what else? Upsukei shofreis, and psukim about the shofar. Why? What's the point of that? Because, again, to remember what? Liskar lachem, to remember on your behalf, Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak, Shekarav Tachtav Ayil, that instead of Yitzchak, what did Avraham do? He brought a ram instead. The idea, obviously, of reminding Hashem of the merit that we have, because Avraham was willing and Yitzchak was willing to be sacrificed. Avraham was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. So we see that we have in our two psukim about Rosh Hashanah, the only thing we can sort of glean so far is that there is a mentioning of the shofar. We don't even have the blowing yet. We have the mentioning. And the idea of it being a remembrance, some kind of a reminder, and that we don't do work, that we saw that it's a day of rest and it's no work. Okay, let's see in Parshas Pinchas, that's the other place. There's more about the Karbanis, but just to see how it mentions Rosh Hashanah there. So this is in Parshas Pinchas, in Chumash Bamidbar, where it also repeats all about the different Yomim Tovim. And there it says, in Perek Chavtes, U'bachaydesh HaShvi, again on the seventh, in the seventh month, Be'echad L'chaydesh, the first day of the month, Mikra Chaydesh Yelachem, there shall be a holy convocation, so it's a holy set-aside day, Yelachem. We discussed Mikra last week in depth. Kol meleches avoda lo sasu. So it does repeat that you should not do any work of labor. And then it says, this one little difference here, it doesn't say Zichrein Truah. Do you see what it says? Yoim Truah. Yoim Truah Yelachem. It shall be a day of shofar sounding for you. Okay, so here we see that we have that it does go into the carbon. We don't have to be, but it does tell us which specific carbon you bring on the day of Rosh Hashanah. We won't deal with that, and we don't have the carbon, but that's all. And then it goes on to Yom Kippur. Okay, so we see it. So far, we see interesting. Neither psukim mention Yom Hadin. Another interesting thing that's missing that I think we would understand. So it does mention the idea of shofar, but which sound of the shofar is being stressed? It's very interesting. Usually when we think of the shofar, the first sound we think of is the tkiah. That is the first sound we blow, because we always blow a tkiah before we blow a trua or before we blow a shvarim. Yet it only mentions the trua sound. So just to clarify one thing, we won't go into depth, it's its own shiur about the different sounds of the shofar. But the trua sound is definitely the broken sound. There are different opinions as far as how you break them. So according to some, the trua is the shvarim, as we know, you know, the three sort of longer broken sounds, or the trua is what we call the trua, those nine really short broken sounds. Whichever way it is, they're broken. The tkiah, on the other hand, is the long, simple sound, which is not broken. And we'll see what that represents. That's not mentioned here at all. So there's a lot missing, and we have to understand, where does Rosh Hashanah, the way we know it, come from based on these psukim? Okay, so to have a little bit, I really, really hope today that we will get to a beautiful part, please Hashem, that we should be able to, because I'm so bad at timing myself, so I ask forgiveness. But if not, what we'll do is we'll just continue next week with this. But I just want to show you, just along the same theme, to understand in Tanakh, as we're talking about from the written Torah, where else do we have a mention of Rosh Hashanah? So there is another place where it does speak about Rosh Hashanah at length, in the Ksuvim. And this is in Nehemiah. You can see it's in the Sefer Nehemiah. This is the time when the Jewish people come back after the Golos Bavel, after the exile to Babylonia. So it's after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. They were in Bavel, they experienced the Purim story, and now they have the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. And we know the leaders of the generation, namely Ezra especially and Nehemiah, were encouraging the Jewish people to return to Israel. Life was too comfortable in Bavel, it wasn't so easy to get them back. And not only wasn't it easy, but another fascinating thing, which is its own beautiful shiurim to understand the history of the time, which actually can comfort us a little bit, is that the Jewish people actually were very, very assimilated, meaning they knew very little. So when we feel lost and we feel, how could it be that Mashiach will come? How could it be we'll all return when we're all so lost? This is not the first time, and they did return, and they did have a second Beis HaMikdash. We will have a third Beis HaMikdash, no matter how little we know. They knew so little, they were very, very assimilated, and their observance was very low. And Ezra was encouraging them. And here, again, it's a bit long, so I just want to read you a few of the psukim. And he gathers the Jewish people. And let me just see, and it tells you a whole list of great leaders that were around him. Vayomer Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, and Huha Tirshasa, that's a title that he was given in Persia. It was a Persian, I don't know, he was something in the king's whatever. He was an important member of the parliament in Persia, whatever it is. The Ezra HaKayin, and Ezra the Kayin HaSeifer, he was a Seifer. The HaLeviim, HaMevinim Es Ha'am, and the Leviim, who were the ones who understood and were able to explain to the nation. It already shows you the nation's level of learning was very low, and they needed these Leviim to be able to explain what Ezra was saying, because they had such a low background, such a low standard. They really knew very little. And what did they do? They said L'chol Ha'am, they said to the entire nation, Hayoim Kadesh Hu LaHashem, today is holy to Hashem Elokeichem. Al tis'ablu, don't mourn, v'al tibku, and don't cry. Why should he tell them not to cry? Ki boichim kol ha'am, because they were crying. Why were they crying? Kishamam es divrei ha'Torah, when they were listening to Ezra reading from the Torah. They were crying because they realized that their level was so low, they were so far, they knew so little, they felt so distant. So here they were being aroused to tshuva, but Ezra tells them now is not the time to cry. And he says to them like this, Vayomer lahem, and I just want to show you one thing. Which word was it? It says, Hayoim Kadeshu LaHashem. What day was it? And it is told it was the day of Rosh Hashanah. This was Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so what does he tell them about this day? He tells them, Vayomer lahem lechu, and we've quoted this pasuk, he tells them to go, ichlu mashmanim, to eat the fat foods, the good foods, ushasumam takim, and drink sweet drinks, vishilchu monos le'einochayn loy, and send gifts to those who haven't prepared. In other words, there are many of you in those days who weren't even aware that it was Rosh Hashanah. That's how low the level was. And they weren't even aware that Rosh Hashanah is a day that you have to prepare for and that you should cook special foods for. So therefore, they were unprepared. So Ezra says to the ones who are listening to go home and share their food to the ones who are even unaware. And what should you do? And you should, Ki Kadosh, why? Ki Kadosh Hayom L'Adeinenu, because today is a holy day for our master. V'al Teyatzevu, do not be sad. Ki Chedvas Hashem, Hi Ma'uschem, the joy of Hashem, that will be your strength. And it goes on and explains that the Levim had to, it wasn't enough what Ezra said. They had to encourage the people even more because the people felt so broken, and they had to say, don't be sad, because it's a holy day. And then it describes that the people went, Lecha v'lishtos v'lishalach manos. We think of it like, almost sounds like Purim, but it was Rosh Hashanah. They sent each other gifts of food. V'lasay simcha g'dayla. It's a very important thing to keep this in mind, because this will be one of the underlying themes that we'll see. Most of us do not necessarily associate Rosh Hashanah as a day of Simcha Gedolah. It is Yontif, of course, but Simcha Gedolah, we would say Sukkot, Purim, whatever it is. But Rosh Hashanah, and yet this was Rosh Hashanah. And this is told to us in the Nevi'im, which means this is one of the underlying themes, and we'll see soon how that works, of Rosh Hashanah. And why? Because ki havinu bedvarim asher haidiu lahem, they understood the things that they were being taught. And then they were gathered the next day, and it describes how they were taught in much more detail all of the halachas of the Torah, and they started to come closer and closer and become much more observant. And that's the story at that time. But you can see from the written Torah a little bit, mamish, drops. Again, no mention of Yom Hadin there either. Fascinating. Mishta, Simcha, but no Yayim Hadin. Interesting. This is all from the written part, the Torah Shebiksav. Let's see now to understand one. I just want to read you one more pasuk from Tehillim, also from Torah Shebiksav. We don't think of Tehillim, but Tehillim is also from the Ksuvim. And this is also mentioned that this is Rosh Hashanah. It says, Tiku, a very famous pasuk. We say it on Rosh Hashanah a lot. Tiku b'chayda shofar in perek pei aleph, that you should blow on the month. And it's explained, what does it mean on the month? On the first day of the special month, you should blow the shofar b'kesel liyayim chageinu, the day which is designated as a day of holiday. And we'll see kesel can be explained in other ways, but that's the simple explanation. And it's told to us that this is Rosh Hashanah. So again, we see an interesting thing. Rosh Hashanah is a time for blowing the shofar. This pasuk does have the word tiku, not trua. See, here we have a little bit already of more of a hint to a concept of a tkia, but it does, and it does mention very clearly the word shofar here, which it didn't before. But nevertheless, it still doesn't say anything about Yom Hadin. Okay, so now we have to understand these psukim. I won't do all the mefarshim inside. I know that gets a little bit tedious, and we have so many beautiful things, but some we'll do inside, because some are so beautiful. Like I say, if we don't manage, at least we have next week still. So let's see some of the beautiful concepts of what we learn, how we're learning Rosh Hashanah, what is Rosh Hashanah from the Psukim of the Chumash. So first of all, we did Rashi already. I'm not going to do the Evan Ezra. I just want to show you the Ramban. The Ramban shows us, do you remember in the Pasuk, when we read the Pasuk, we said an interesting word. We said Shabbosain, right? It should be a Shabbosain. That's what we called it first. And then we said Zichrein Trua. So the Ramban says, what does this mean, a Yom of Shabbosain? So he says, Yom Shabbosain teaches us like this. Sheyihyeh Yom Shvisa Lanuach Bo. So the first thing we have to understand about Rosh Hashanah is that it is a day of rest, a day like Shabbos. It has that peacefulness of Shabbos. For Amar Rabbi Seinu Shabbos and Asehu, our rabbis teach us, this teaches us that there's a positive mitzvah, and we apply this to all the other Yamim Tovim, not to do work on Yontif. Which means, if you transgress, you're transgressing a negative, because it says you shouldn't do work. But you're also, when you withhold from doing work, you are also keeping a positive mitzvah. Which positive mitzvah are you keeping by not doing work? Is that you are keeping the mitzvah of Yeh Lachem Shabbosin. And this, even though it's only mentioned on Rosh Hashanah, they say we learn from that it applies to Sukkot and Yom Kippur and Shavuos and all the other Yomim Tovim. Okay, I just want to go on and explain. Let's see what he says like this. Now the Ramban will tell us a little bit more of a deeper understanding to start to get a glimpse of what is this yontif. So he says, "V'nira li shahamedrash hazel loymar shenitztavinu min ha-Torah liyoslanu minucha biyontif." Okay, so obviously what the Medrash is teaching us based on that word Shabbosayin, that there should be minucha, rest, tranquility on yontif, afilu midvarim she'einan melacha. Because now the Ramban goes a layer below. We know there are certain things that are forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. Absolutely forbidden, right? Certain things you can't do. You can't write. I don't know. There's lots of many things like you can't do on Shabbos. The only thing that you can do on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos is cooking and carrying, right? And lighting a candle. Those, which is cooking, right? To light. So therefore you can light a candle. You can light a fire. You can cook. But that's it. Everything else that's forbidden on Shabbos is also forbidden on Yom Tov. But the Ramban says the word Shabbosayin here is not just to teach us that. It's to teach us also something about the way we celebrate the Yontif. It's a deeper thing. And what is that? So he says that we should also rest from things that are not technically melacha. For example, he says, Lo yishayatriach, and he tells us what we shouldn't be doing, because a person can do this technically, but this wouldn't be Yontif. Lo yishayatriach kol hayom limdoid hatfuas, a person shouldn't spend the whole day measuring and weighing all the grains, velishkol haperes, and to weigh the fruits, v'hamatandais, and to, you know, decide exactly what he's supposed to be giving to the Kayin and to the Levi, and to fill all the, you know, jars full of wine, and to wash all the kalim, all the dishes. We technically can do that, but don't spend yontif doing that. That's the word Shabbosayin. V'gam ha'avonim mi'bayis l'bayis u'mimokem l'mokem, carrying stones from one house to another, technically, nothing wrong with carrying heavy things. You could spend a whole day carrying heavy tables from your house to your neighbor's house on Yontif, if that's what you choose to do. But as the Ramban says, it won't be Yontif then. And he describes, and he says, it could even be a city which has a Erev around it, or a wall around it, and then on Shabbos people will be doing these things also, because you're permitted, right? It's not technically forbidden. He says, what's going to happen? People might even open up their stores and sell on credit. You know, there are certain things that are done. Interesting. You have, like in Israel, sometimes people can go and eat like in a restaurant on Shabbos, but that's in the Shabbos spirit. You know, people are away, so they pay before and you make an arrangement. But imagine if you can go into a store and take things and, you know, they trust you, they know you, and you'll pay them after Shabbos. You can do everything on Shabbos then. You can spend your entire day almost exactly like a regular weekday, just sort of avoiding what's technically not permitted, so to speak. So the Ramban says that wouldn't be Yontif, that wouldn't be Shabbos, and that's why we have this word Shabbosayin. And I just want to show you here. So that's why he says, Lekach amra Torah Shabbosayin sheyeh yom shvisa u'menucha, a day of rest, a day of tranquility, loy yom Torah, not a day of hard physical labor. V'zehu perish toivi yafe. The Ramban says it's a nice explanation. He's taking it from others. Okay, so this is one way to understand that word, why we put the word Shabbosayin, but it's also giving us a little bit of an insight already that the Torah is hinting how we celebrate Yom Tov evolved over the generations based upon how we learned it from the Torah and then later on from the Mishnah, the Gemara, and obviously through different customs of what people had. But we understand that it started somewhere, and the Ramban says this is really one of the main sources. And then he says, now he goes on to the other part of the Pasuk, as we said, that it was called a Zichrein Trua, and he says, interesting, if you think about it, something fascinating. V'loy Perish HaKosov, the Pasuk doesn't tell us, Tam HaMitzvah HaZais, Why? We said it doesn't mention Yom HaDin, but it also doesn't mention anything to do with why on this earth should we take an instrument, which we know now is a shofar, and blow these blows. It says nothing about it. And interesting, so we think, okay, so Torah doesn't tell us anything. But the truth is, v'lama nitzarech zikarein lefnei Hashem b'yom hazeh, another thing he asks, that why do we need a specific remembrance on this day before Hashem more than other days? Yosem rishar hayamim. Why is it designated as a holy day at all? So we think a lot of Yom Tovs, but the truth is, the other Yomim Tovim, they say, the Torah tells us, when it says that you should keep Pesach, it says, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, that's why we keep Pesach. When it tells us about Shavuos, it tells us that's the time when we have the harvest starting to grow and we have to show thanks to Hashem. When it says about Sukkot, it also gives us a reason. We're gathering it inside the harvest. Every Yom Tov gives a reason. Even Yom Kippur tells us it's a day of atonement. Rosh Hashanah, it just says, remembrance of a shofar, a day of Shabbosim. It doesn't tell us anything. Why? Why is the first day of the seventh month, so to speak, set aside as this taking the shofar? Zero mention. As he says, and why it's even a holy day, it doesn't tell us. So he says an interesting thing. Here the Ramban gives his own reason, and we're going to see many reasons. We all take it for granted. It's Rosh Hashanah. Many of us think of Rosh Hashanah, the reason is because that's the day, as we know, traditionally we were told that on the 25th day of Elul, Hashem began the creation of the world. And on the first day of which is Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, is when man was created, right? And we do mention this in the davening on Rosh Hashanah, but the truth is that's a medrash, and there are other opinions that the world was created in Nisan, before Nisan. That's why Pesach is, that's why that's called the first month. So it's a fascinating thing. That's not mentioned in the Chumash at all. People don't realize that. So it's interesting. We just take that for granted. But we don't even know why Rosh Hashanah is when it is. We don't understand what's the connection of a din, a judgment, to this day, the seventh month, the first day. We have nothing. Okay, so let's see what he says. So he says like this. Why is it? So he says, Aval mipnei shehu b'chad shoshal yom ha-kippurim. Since Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month of which Yom Kippur takes place, Yom Kippur is the 10th day of that month. Now, Yom Kippur, we do know why. Because Yom Kippur, we were told historically, that's the day Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the second Luchais, and Hashem said, Solachti kidvarecha, I forgive you according to what you asked. So we know that historically, Yom Kippur has a special power of forgiveness. So Yom Kippur, we understand. Rosh Hashanah, no understanding. So the Ramban says, since Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month, which Yom Kippur will take place, therefore, Nireshabai Yihyeh Din Lefonav Yisparech. Therefore, it's logical that on the first day of the month, which Hashem chose that month to have an auspicious day, which is special and unique and gifted and has a special, special energy of forgiveness. So let's take that first day of that month and set it aside and say, oh, that's a day we should start reflecting. Perhaps that's the day that Hashem is starting to look and to start judging us, because Yom Kippur is the opportunity that we can say sorry for what we've done. But Hashem starts to analyze what we've done on Rosh Hashanah, leading up to that 10th day of the month. So interestingly, Rosh Hashanah, the day that is like the first day of our year, like Rosh Hashanah, seems, interestingly enough, according to the Ramban, to have been learnt out because of Yom Kippur. We're sort of retroactively learning it out because it's the 10th day of the month is Yom Kippur. So we have to say that the Rosh Chodesh of that month is a special day. It's a very interesting thing. It's not almost, it's like leaning on, and it depends on Yom Kippur as opposed to the other way that we often think of it. Rosh Hashanah, the biggest, the first day of the year. So he says like this, perhaps that's the day that Hashem starts to judge. Kibam Yodin Amim, that's the day that Hashem will judge the nations. B'Rosh Hashanah Yashav L'Kisei Shofet Tzedek, he's going to sit on his chair to make a judgment. V'Acharei Chein Ba'Aseres HaYamim Yisal L'Pesha Avodav, and then during the 10 days, and we'll develop that soon according to the Sefer HaChinuch, he says, so perhaps that's the time when Hashem will hopefully forgive all the sins of. He'll wipe away the sins of his servants. Remes HaKosov HaInyan. So the Pasuk is hinting, Kasher Noida B'Yisrael Mipi HaNeviim V'Avais Kedoshim. It's actually only hinted to us from our prophets, from our holy fathers. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Fascinating thing. And the Ramban continues and he says that perhaps also the fact that it talks about the word Trua, which it does mention in the Chumash, we saw the word Trua, perhaps that's also giving us a hint of what is the essence of the day. Because he says, because we know if there's a pasuk that tells Tehillim, it says, Ashrei ha'am, this is one of the psukim that we say when we blow the shofar, Ashrei ha'am yoidei srua. Praised is the nation who knows how to blow the trua. Because obviously the trua accomplishes something tremendous for them. And we know what a trua is. In other places in Chumash, this concept of blowing this sound, which is a broken sound, it's called a war sound. That's what it is. Trua is a sound of war. It's a sound of struggle. In many places, it's called a sound of a broken heart, as you can understand the way it sounds. But it's also a sound of struggle, which is a sound of war. That's what the trua is. So it's all of those. Whereas, just to share, we'll see later, tkia is a very different sound. Tkia is actually a sound of victory and a sound of mercy. That's what the tkia is. Because tkia is a simple, straight voice, like telling you, I am here for you. Do you hear me? I am here, with no brokenness in it. And that is a symbolic of Hashem's compassion, Hashem's kindness. Whereas trua is a sign of gevura, strength, as we say, struggle, war, and brokenness. That's what trua is. So he says, he explains beautifully that perhaps also that gives us a little bit of an insight that this is a day that we feel broken, right? Trua, because it says Yom Trua, that's all it says. Why would we feel broken? Why would we be struggling? Perhaps we're analyzing, what have we done? Where have we come from? What are we doing? And that's when we start to feel, uh-oh, things are not 100%. That's when a person starts to feel broken. So this is the hint again hinting that there's something very deep happening on that day. And I just want to show you, so he says a beautiful thing here that we're going to see in a few places, a very important thing. So now I said that the Chumash didn't use the word tkia at all. And as we just now said something interesting, we said that trua is a sign of struggle, of gevura, which could hint to a din, you know, you're standing before the king, so you're a little bit nervous, he's analyzing what you've done. Tkia, on the other hand, is a sign of compassion, of love, of warmth, of embracing, I'm here for you. It's a direct communication. Interesting, the fascinating thing we say, the tkia doesn't mention. But the Gemara tells us that every single time you have a trua sound, and as I said, trua includes a shvarim sound, you have to have it in a sandwich. You have to have a tkia before and a tkia after. If you think about how they blow the shofar, that's always how it's done. And why is that? Because we cannot have the struggle without the tkia coming before, which is, as we said, the love, the kindness of Hashem, and then the tkia coming after, that Hashem accepts our broken heart. And this is what the Gemara tells us, that's how we have to do it. But in the Chumash, we see the word trua. Fascinating. I just want to see if I want to go any more here inside. It explains that interesting that Rosh Hashanah is an interesting day. Rosh Hashanah is a day of din, a day of judgment with compassion. Yom Kippur is a day of compassion with judgment. Actually, a fascinating difference, but we'll leave that there. Okay, I want to read you some. I'm going to find it. I do have it. I'll come back to the Rabbeinu Bechaya, I think. I'll do the Rabbeinu Bechaya and then I want to do the Sefer HaChinuch because that explains it also very beautifully. So he says like this, what is Zichrein Trua? Zichrein Trua, he says, Al Yedei HaTrua, Tiyen Nizkarim Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is important to remember the word Zikarim because we know that that's another name for Rosh Hashanah. Again, interesting. Our Pasuk said Zichrein Trua. And it becomes a very big theme. We call Rosh Hashanah, and different people have different customs of what they say when they light candles, but we say Yom HaZikaron, right? And it is called Yom HaZikaron. That's one of the names of Rosh Hashanah. We say Lahadigneh Shiyom HaZikaron, but Yom HaZikaron is the name of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because he says, through the blowing of the trua, we are Nizkarim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are remembered by Hashem. That's something to keep in mind. More than Yom HaDin is remembrance, because that's in the Chumash. We think of it Yom HaDin, but we have to a little bit shift our mindset and realize that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, no question. But what is it before Yom HaDin? Before we even mention judgment, it's Yom HaZikaron. That's the word the Chumash uses. And what does Yom HaZikaron mean? So we might think it's a day for us to reflect, which it is. But even deeper, it's a day that Hashem reflects, that Hashem remembers us. So that's something very important. And obviously, when Hashem is going to remember us, meaning when Hashem is going to pay attention to us, that evokes in us a feeling that, oh, we better scrutinize ourselves, because if Hashem is going to be looking at us, where are we? How are we doing? We better be careful. So that leads to a concept of Yom HaDin. But nevertheless, the first thing we have to realize is it's the day that Hashem will be paying us attention. So that's the first thing. That's from the Chumash straight. Okay, I want to show you Rabbeinu Bachai. He says it also beautifully, beautifully. So he says, "Umashu Yom HaDin." Oh, I'm sorry, you know what? I have the Rabbeinu Bachai in a different. I'll come back to this, and I want to show you. Let me see. I want to show you inside the original. Okay. I want to show you this one, and then we'll do the other. Okay. So he says, okay, so here, I'll just do a little bit outside, a little bit inside. Zichrein Trua. He says, I'll same as Rashi, that we remember it by the Psukim. Sorry, just one more thing before we go inside to the depth. It's just an important thing to mention. This year, it's not like that. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we know we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. So according to some opinions, this pasuk that we read in our parasha, Parashas Emor, is referring to when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Because when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't actually blow the shofar. We just have a remembrance of the shofar by saying the psukim. And that's why the pasuk says, Zichrein Trua. Whereas in Parashas Pinchas, it's talking about like our year when Rosh Hashanah is during the week, and we do blow the shofar. Okay, that's just something to remember. We're not going to go in depth because that's not how this year falls out. But just to understand that that's learned from here, that's what the Rabbanim learned from here. Okay, so just to understand something here, he says like this. What is this day, he says? So first of all, it's a day that, as we say, we remember, we say these special psukim, and obviously we remind Hashem of the Akedah, as we said. But he asks interesting questions, as we've mentioned. V'loy bir lanu akosov bametia trua. The pasuk is not clear. How should we blow this trua? Is it going to be with a shofar? Is it going to be with the trumpets? V'chatzoytreis. V'chein tam ha-trua doesn't tell us why. Lama v'alma, why and for what reason. V'gam loy bir shahayim azahu yayim adin. It doesn't tell us that it's the day of judgment. V'sosam ha-kosov b'shtei milais eile. It's like the pasuk is so cryptic, and it's almost like a password. It's so in so abbreviated form. And it just says, zichra. It's relying on the tradition. Who knows who can really interpret these psukim? Only the great wise men who have the tradition passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu. But why is it like that though? Vehem kiblush, and they received shatrua zeis b'shofar, that this trua is the shofar, that's how we know it. And they use actually different psukim to prove, because it says the word trua also by the yovel, we know that's the 50th year, and over there, by the yovel, it uses the word trua, and over there we know, and it says clearly you use a shofar. So since it uses the same word, we know that here also we use a shofar. That's how we learn it. And then he says, how do we know that it's Yom HaDin? So he says it's hinted in the word Zikaron. What is Zikaron? As we said, Zikaron means to remember. What does that have to do with Din? So he says, Ki Yulashon Noifel Al HaDin. It's a language which is used, which actually can be interchanged with the concept of judgment. And he brings psukim that show us that in other places in the Torah. Mazkeres Avain, a remembrance of a sin. As soon as you say remembering a sin, that evokes in you, that means when Hashem is remembering, what does remembering mean? Remembering means that he's taking notice, that he's scrutinizing. That's what remembering means. Remembering means you bring up in your memory something to the front of your mind, and now you analyze it. Oh no, that's already a time when he's going to see, what are we up to? That makes us understand, it's a day of judgment. And if we see another pasuk, this is in Yecheskel, Maskir Avayn Lihitapes, that he remembers sins in order to search and to analyze them. So, and also we have the Lashon Pekida Midas Hadin, to remember the Midah of Din. Again, remembering with the concept of Din. As he says, we know we say this in the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, Poiked Avayn Avayz. That Hashem remembers the sins of our fathers. So we see the concept of zikaron, memory, to do with sin, which says, oh, if memory has to do with sin, that means it's a yom hadin. It sounds a bit stretched, actually, but as Rabbeinu Bechai says, it is a bit stretched. You see that? It's not very clear at all. And the only reason we know it is because we've been traditionally taught that. And he says, again, that the pasuk is actually telling us in a very hinting way, ki hayayim hazeh yayim hadin, that this day is a day of judgment, ro'i lishmaya by kultura, so it makes sense that you should listen to the kultura in the shofar, like our rabbis say. Now, obviously this is not said in these mefarshim, but we understand that the reason for the shofar to do with Yayim Hadin is because there's other psukim that tell us that will a shofar be blown in the city and people will not tremble. So the shofar is an idea of waking us up, and we know the Rambam says it clearly, it wakes us up so that we start to analyze and to think about and reflect, where are we? Where are we going? Okay, so that's the idea of the connection. But you can see, as the Rabbeinu Bechaya points out clearly, it is so cryptic. Rosh Hashanah, our day of Rosh Hashanah, and so cryptic. So why? So he says a very beautiful thing. He says, "Umashaba parsha zustuma, yoiser mishar parshias hamayadim." This parsha, this section, is more hidden and more unclear and more cryptic than all the other Yomim Tovim. So he says a beautiful thing. He says, "Masha yadua bin yonei terasenu hakdeisha." This is known about our Torah, our holy Torah. Oison shehein mipinois hadas umeikareha. Anything which is from the cornerstones of our religion and from the main foundational things of our religion is what? Ki kol masha inyan yoiser nelam v'yoiser pnimi hu yoiser sasum. This is very interesting. This is a very Torah view. The more something is hidden, the more something is inward, the more hidden it is. In other words, in Torah we have, and it's an interesting pasuk, we have a pasuk that in Hosea it says, Hatznei lechesim Hashem aleikecha. People use this pasuk in many ways. Hatznei leches means you go in a way of tznius, which means in a way of, modesty is not the right word, a way of hiddenness, a way where you don't stand out. In Torah, when Torah is very different to the Western way, the Torah way is, the more precious something is, the more careful you are with it, the less you show it off. The more you show something off, the more cheapening you are doing to it. The more expensive, the more valuable, the more precious, the more inward it is, the more hidden it is. And this is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is our day, as we will hopefully see a little bit more soon, with time allowing. It's such an incredibly powerful day. It leads up to Yom Kippur. And therefore, even the Chumash itself is delicate and careful with how it describes Rosh Hashanah. So we have to look very deeply to be able to extrapolate that it is Yom Hadin, showing us the preciousness and the depth of the day of Rosh Hashanah. So it's just an interesting thing to remember. This is one of the, again, giving us different, I think, a little bit of a slight different angle on what we might not have been aware before as we are preparing for this precious day. And he gives other examples. And he says we have other mitzvahs, as we see, the more holy the mitzvah, like the mitzvah of tefillin, is so cryptic. It doesn't say anything about black leather straps, right? We have to learn it out from the, because it's such a precious mitzvah, the Torah is very cryptic with how it describes it. I want to just show you something beautiful. Another thing that the Torah is very hidden about, and many people have this question, is why doesn't the Torah state more clearly? Why are we not explicitly told much more about Olam Haba, Gan Eden, Trias Hamesim, all these things that are such fundamentals of our belief? And never mind even getting a step before that, the Torah barely talks about the neshama. If you want to know about the neshama, you have to start learning Kabbalah, and now we have Chassidus. But otherwise, you mention it. You have a neshama, you say, Maida'ani, thank Hashem for my neshama. But does it ever tell us about what the neshama is, how the neshama operates? Nothing. Why not? So he says a very beautiful thing. He says, "V'zeu inyan she'ein zichrein oylam haneshamis mefayrish b'teira." The concept of the world of neshamis is very unclear. It's not clearly stated. Ela b'rimazim, only in a hinting way. V'sisimasai l'rayv ha'alamasai, and it's like it's so to speak. It's hinted because of its secret, so to speak. Why? Ki ha'Torah lahaman Yisrael nitna. The Torah was given to the masses. Loi la'yechidim shebahem bilvad. Not only to exclusive people. V'inyan ha'olam ahu ein kol ha'yechidim masigin oisai eichu. The masses will not be able to grasp the depth of what it is. Why? As he says, af ki ha'mayin ha'am ki k'shem she'ein. He gives a very interesting example. Just like a dog, just like a fish, ha'mizgadel b'mayim, who grows up in the water. Yoideya u'masig yisoid ha'esh. Very interesting. Could it understand fire if it grows up in water? L'fishu hepchay, because it's the opposite. A fish cannot relate to fire. You might explain it to him that it's red or orange, that it's hot. He won't even know what that means. These are words that he doesn't understand. They're just abstract concepts. The same way for us. He says a very interesting thing. He says, Kein ha'olam ahu ha'sichli behepech min ha'olam hazeh ha'gashmi. That intellectual or spiritual world is the opposite of our physical world. Ve'ein ba'lachaymer yochel la'sigay. So a person of just material, of substance, cannot grasp it. Ba'oichu ba'chaymer, as long as we are enclosed in our materialism, as long as we are in our physical being, we cannot understand the spiritual realm. We can only understand it in a very sort of hinting, cryptic way. That's why the Torah gives us all the rewards, as we know, in only the physical rewards. And those promises, and that's how we come to the main thing. But the point he's saying is a very beautiful one. One thing is because of its preciousness, and the other thing is because no matter how clear Torah would be, if Torah would sit and give us even five more psukim about Rosh Hashanah, we still wouldn't get it. What does it mean for us? Why do we need to know this? It's a very beautiful thing. What it means is that Rosh Hashanah is such an incredible yontif, and we know it is. We'll see, and not today, I can see already the time is running, but we'll see hopefully next week that, and we did see a little bit, that it is a day of fear, in a sense, because it's a day of judgment. It's true, we know, Hashem is judging, right? But it's a day of joy. It's a day of closeness to Hashem. The fact that the Torah chooses to tell us about Rosh Hashanah in such a cryptic way, the idea is that we should at least realize, even though we don't get the depth of it, but at least realize and be grateful for the preciousness of the gift. What it means is that we take Rosh Hashanah, we look forward to it, and we experience it those 2 days, being aware that these are days that we have no clue of the holiness that we are experiencing. In other words, it's like when you show somebody, I don't know, let's say an ignorant person, you tell them, you show them this diamond and you say, this is, I don't know, this diamond is like one of the most precious in the world. The person will look at it. They know they don't know, if they're honest enough, right? They know nothing about diamonds, but they look at it and they're like, wow. So the Torah is giving us that idea that this is a day which is so beyond our understanding, so beyond our grasp, and yet, on a certain level, as long as we immerse ourselves in it, we can experience it. It's a gift. So we have to be aware that we don't understand the depth of the day. And that's why it's written in such a cryptic way. And this also helps us for the preparation for the day. But what is Taka so special about this? Okay, maybe we'll come back to that one afterwards. I want to show you the Alshich. Because then, and then I think we might finish with Alshich. Beautiful, beautiful Alshich tells us. I mean, I think I have the Alshich on a different sheet also. Ah, let me see. Yeah, we have this one. Okay. 1 second. We'll go back to those next week in Mirtz Hashem. But today, I want to show you something beautiful here. Okay, let's see if I can make it where I can see the Alshich here. Okay. So here the Al-Sheikh says a very beautiful thing. And this is just to give us, I just wanted to leave with this because I want to just show you something again as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, to give us the most incredible, as you can say, to understand in a, even in a general way. Next week we'll see more specific because we're still leaving with the question of Yom HaDin. We don't really, the Ramban just gave us a little bit of a sum somehow because it comes before Yom Kippur, we know it's Yom HaDin. Next week we'll see more in depth how we truly know that it's Yom HaDin. But I want to show you something. The Al-Sheikh tells us the psukim are very exact. And this is how we know what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is. So what's the exactness of the psukim? So he says like this, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Leimer, right? Hashem is speaking to Moshe, which means Hashem is telling Moshe, go to the Jewish people and present to them the day of Rosh Hashanah, right? Present it to them, teach them. Give them an understanding of the preciousness of what is this day. How does he do it? So he says, Inyan, in other words, Inyan Hayoim, what is the day? And what is it? Shehu Hayaisa, Yoim Zikaren Trua, right? Zikaren Trua, it's a day of remembrance of the Trua. Vehachna, as we said, a Trua means a time when we are bent. Shviras Halev, brokenness of heart. But Shuva Shleima, with a true Shuva. But Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, very important message and how you are going to present it because it's a package deal. It's not just a day of a broken heart and a day that we feel broken because of all the terrible things and we're afraid, we're standing in front of Hashem and he's opening up the books. It's much deeper. He says, what is it? It's the day of Hashem judging us, right? It's the day that, as we said, Hashem remembers us. So he says, who is Hashem? Hashem is Elikeinu. Who Shoifteinu? God, he is our judge. The who Avinu? He's our father. And what kind of a father is he? Of Harachaman. He's a father of compassion. V'chol cheftzai yizbarech l'rachameinu. What does Hashem want? What is Hashem's biggest desire? He just wants to have mercy. He wants to have compassion. Al kein leval nisatzei velibeinu. So in order that we shouldn't be sad, we shouldn't feel down, as the Navi said there, right? Al teyatzevu. B'pesach dvarav, as soon as he opens his mouth, v'hasker lanu hatrua v'achna, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu will tell us about this concept of trua, of brokenness, al kein ratzo yizbarech. So that's why Hashem said, sheyaschil Moshe ledaber lanu, Haftachasa yizbarech. Before you begin about a broken heart, about a trua, you have to make sure, not just to say, but to make sure that they understand, that to convey to the people a trust. What does a trust mean? And a promise that Hashem gives to the Jewish people. That what? Ki hatrua simcha v'sason yielanu. It's going to be a time of joy. Ki kachu oifia shel elikeinu. This is the personality. This is the way of Hashem. What's the way of Hashem? Let's see. And therefore, because of that, al kein mitzavanu le'echol v'lishtais, that's why we're told to eat, to drink, v'lismoyach bay, and to be happy in it, v'niftach bay yisparech, and to trust in him, kibonim, whether we're like children, or like im ka'avadim, or we're like servants, loyal servants, what do we trust? Yichaneinu, he will have mercy, he will have compassion, he will find chen, in other words, we will find chen in his eyes, v'yoytze la'ar mishpateinu, we say this in the davening, and therefore he will give us a good judgment. How do we see that in the psukim? Where does it say that it's a day of joy and that Moshe Rabbeinu should assure us? V'alkein achar aimer v'edaber Hashem Moshe leimer. So after Hashem says to Moshe, saying, like in other words, I know the message. The message is inyan hayoyim, the concept of what the day is. Omar l'Moshe, what does he say? Dabri el b'nei Yisrael, inyan acher. Another thing, before you mention the word trua, tell them something else. Kidei leimer, hamechuvan asher tzivisicha leimer. In order that you should be able to say the intent of what I command you to say. What is that? Umahu ha'inyan asher taktim. What will you preface? Halayhu. It's these words. Be'echad l'chaydesh ha'shvii hazeh, on the first day of the seventh month. And what is the seventh month? That's the month that has Yom Kippur in it. Yiyelachem. What word did he use? Shabbosayn. Before he mentioned the word trua, which we know means broken. That shows us, it's coming the day of judgment. I mean, not the day of judgment, but the day of forgiveness. So we're going to have a judgment. What does he say? Very important word, Shabbosein. What is Shabbosein? Shehu shvisa v'simcha. Hashem says to Moshe, make sure that when you come to the Jewish people, first you say Shabbosein. Joy, tranquility, rest, a time of oneness with Hashem. The achar, and afterwards, Imrei Mashiachdim el Ha'ikar, Amar Ha'inyan Hayayim Shiratzabai. Then you tell them what the day is, a day that is wanted. Ka'imrei Vayidab Hashem Omei Shalemer, Shehu Zichrein Trua, Mikra Kaidesh. It's Taka day that you remember the Trua. It is a day of holiness that's set aside. Sheyiye Belibayin Zichrein Trua, that they should have in their hearts the remembrance of the Trua. And what is the Trua? The Trua's Mishpata Yisparach Lamaila, that it's the day that Hashem will taka judge you above. Ki ayoyim yamid b'mishpat. It's the day that Hashem actually puts in front of him everybody for judgment. Kol yitzurei olam, all the creations of the world. Va'al yidei ha'trua yiyeh lachem mikra kodesh. And through this concept of trua and the blowing of the shofar, it will taka be a day designated and called. And actually, the word called is very significant. It's a day that we hear the shofar, so we listen and we hear it as a holy day. But again, as the Al Sheikh very, very specifically says, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, before you mention anything about judgment, you must remember to mention that it's a Yom Shabbosein. So we see here, just while I'm going to stop here and we're going to continue next week. What we've seen so far is that we only know Rosh Hashanah because the 10th day of the month is Yom Kippur, that we know. So obviously, if he's going to forgive us, then he has to forgive us for something. It's a judgment, right? He's going to judge us and see what we need to be forgiven for. So we work backwards. We say today is a day of judgment. But what we do see is something else big. So it is a Yayim Hadin, and we'll see next week a little bit more. But also, and this is a very important thing, it's a day of joy, which means it's a day of closeness to Hashem. And this, again, we'll see next week a little bit deeper, a little bit more how we extrapolate that. But for us, as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, this is why we have that double preparation, and this is the beauty of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time that we do make special foods, we cook special foods, we have special clothing. I don't know this year what we'll do, but whatever it is, we have a special tablecloth, we have the house set beautifully, because it is a Yom Simcha. It is a Simcha with a seriousness. It's not Simcha Steira, but it is a day of joy. And that's something so important for us to remember as we are preparing for Rosh Hashanah. As we know, as Jews, we can combine both. It's a seriousness. It is a time of reflection, but with incredible joy. And we will see next week more, because it is really a time that we are very, very close to Hashem. And we'll see how the shofar also shows that. So I'm sorry that we did a little bit, but next week we'll see a little bit more. And hopefully, and maybe we'll see if we can do a little bit on Yom Kippur as well. Just if you have any questions, just let me unmake.